So our first reading is John chapter 9 from verse 1 to 12, and you can find them on the on your Bible on page 1075. Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciple asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parent, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said that, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbor and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus put some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. Then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
It's from Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 6. It can be found on the church Bibles on page 1250. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign for ever and ever." The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Eric, very much, and Jeremy.
Trustworthy, faithful and true. And where do we get this information from? Verse 6 tells us as well that it was the Lord God who sent his angel to show his servants. So be assured this morning, we are hearing the truth that comes from a trustworthy source. And verse 7, which we didn't read, goes on to say, "Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." To keep means to hang on to meditate. We are called to meditate on these words because they are words given to us to encourage us. They're dependable. And our life, or our quality of our life, depends on them. We know that when John had his vision on the Isle of Patmos, he was himself a prisoner, and the church was going through a terrible time of persecution. and all the visions that John received at that time were given as an encouragement to the persecuted church, an encouragement for what they would be able to live through in the future, eternally, when their enemy was defeated. But all of us are living through difficult times. Maybe it's not an obvious persecution as it was in the first century, but all of us have our problems, our difficulties, our fears. And we also need these words of encouragement. This text speaks about a river. And I have a lot of memories of different rivers. There was a little river in the park near my home, and I remember when I was little paddling and looking for tadpoles. And then later on, I remember going on a punt in the River Cam. And then more recently, but quite a long time ago, just after Marshal Tito died in Yugoslavia, when the communism was finished, I had to drive into Yugoslavia on my own. And I started going through Slovenia, and I was a bit unsure of myself because it was mountain roads, lots of bends, big lorries coming the other way. But when I had time to stop and rest, I had time to look at the wonderful scenery. And there were mountains, and there were streams, beautiful streams, lovely rivers rolling down from the mountainside. And then I carried on my journey, and I got to Croatia, sparkling sea. And then I drove along, and I came to a river which had run into a fjord. And it wasn't a fjord like the wonderful fjords in Norway. The water in this fjord was sluggish, and it was dark. And around the fjord, there was some vegetation, but it was all like burnt and dead. This river was a river that was polluted and was bringing death everywhere that it flowed. But in our text in the book of Revelation, we read about a river of life. He showed me the river of water of life, clear as crystal, shining, shimmering, limpid. You may have in your memory, those who like reading the Old Testament, what we read in the book of Ezekiel, a river flowing from the temple, a river of life, a river that also brought healing. There were trees, and the healing was in the leaves of the trees as well. But this river was flowing from an earthly temple. But the river that we read about this morning is flowing from the throne of God. We are transported from something on the earth into a new dimension, into heaven. Not from the temple, but from heaven itself. And this river is flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. The Lamb, Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb who gave his life so that we could enter into this new life, into this new heaven, into paradise. God the Father and Jesus the Lamb together on the throne in communion. And what is flowing from the throne? The river, the water of life. And we know from the New Testament, especially from John's Gospel, that water, the river, is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. So we have in this very first verse of this chapter the complete communion of the Holy Trinity. And heaven is all about communion, being one. Heaven is about peace, about joy, about love. So in this wonderful, sparkling, bright, clear river that is flowing without stopping from the throne. We find all the perfection of God continually flowing. We find his abundance. All the abundance of God, the fullness of life, continuous blessing, flowing and flowing and flowing. Where? In the middle of the street, in the center. It may not be a street. We can translate this word as a plain. And it's not quite clear if there was one tree or many trees. But what is important is that the river is flowing in the middle. And on either side or in the middle is the tree or the trees of life. And on each tree there is fruit. And every month, in its season, a new fruit. We just have to come and partake of the fruit of the Spirit, of the fruit of life. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve were thrown out, the tree of life remained. But the tree of life was guarded by an angel with a flaming sword, because sinful people could not approach the tree of life. But now, the tree of life is there for all of us to approach, because in that place, in the new heaven, there will be people who have been redeemed, freed from sin, forgiven, and able to partake freely of the life that God has so freely given us. Every month, new fruit, no barrenness. We're talking about life, abundant life. And there is talk about the 12 months of the year. We think of the 12 tribes of Israel, which explains the whole of Israel, who is invited to partake of God's blessing. But for me, it also means the whole church, the completeness, the fullness, where everyone has his place. So here we are in front of this tree of life, with this continuous flow of abundance, blessing, and life. And there are not only fruit, there are also leaves on these trees. Leaves for the healing of the nations. And we don't need a reminder, we don't need to have heard everything that we have heard this morning to realize that the world is still in a terrible state. Nation stands up against nation. We're surrounded by hate and fear and mistrust, and wars continue. But we have this hope, this sure and certain hope, that one day the sword will be changed into a plowshare, and that even today, when we are surrounded by so much hatred and so much violence, we can receive in our hearts the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And we can receive his love in our hearts to be able to love our enemies. Healing. But in this new heaven, we don't need healing, because we have already had victory over death, victory over sin, victory over every disease. We know that there is no more pain, no more death. We don't need healing in the sense of a cure. But this word, therapia, in Greek, gives us therapy, which doesn't always mean to cure, but means the maintaining of health. And here, I take this healing to mean continuous health, implying exhilaration and invigoration. I was reading a commentary by somebody called John Corson, and he said this: do you ever get tired of being tired? I do. What a grand day it will be when we are in heaven, shooting the rapids of the river of life, eating of the fruit of the Spirit, revived eternally by the leaves of the tree of life. Something to look forward to. But who are the nations? It's not just all the warring nations. In the Old Testament, especially when we read about nations, it means the non-Jews, the Gentiles, the pagans. So in this new heaven, the people who were outside the old covenant are now inside, all together. Our relationship has been healed. And in this place, verse 3, no longer will there be any curse. This is a place where we are going to be free. We are going to be free. The devil is defeated. He won't be there anymore to tempt us. We will be living in complete victory. Instead of the curse, there will be blessing, victory over death, sin, free from temptations, from the devil's schemes. We are just going to live in pure bliss, with blessing after blessing after blessing, flowing out from the throne of God, flowing in the middle of us, flowing into us. Complete communion with the Holy Trinity. And what can we do? The text says, his servants will serve him. And how can we serve him? In worshipping. When I was quite young, thinking about heaven, I thought, my goodness, I'm going to be bored. What can I do? But in heaven, there is nothing else to do but worship. But will I want to do anything else? Will I want to do anything else? And I will have, and you will have, Jesus' name written on our forehead. We saw it, I think it was written in red in Jeremy's talk. But will I have Jesus written on my forehead? In pink, red, yellow? Will it be written in Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, English? I don't think so. Nothing will be written. But we know when we speak of the name in the Bible, the name represents all the character of God. I will have the character of God. You will have the character of God on your forehead. And that is all we will be able to see in the others. Nothing to criticize, nothing to worry about. Everyone will be the same, shining with the radiance of Jesus. Doesn't it want to make you get there? Well, for me anyway. But, yeah. His character will be seen in me. His character will be seen in you. Something completely visible. Easily seen. Because in this place, there is no darkness. And even if there was darkness, we will be shining so brightly that the darkness will have to disappear. There is no need for light because God himself is light, and we will be light. No night, no darkness, no obscurity, nothing occult, just pure, magnificent light. And we will reign, we the servants will reign for eternity, and we will have dominion. When we reign, we have dominion. We will have dominion over everything. And we will reign forever and ever. And if you remember Romans chapter 5, where Paul speaks about the first Adam who came into the world and brought sin into the world, he speaks about Jesus, the second Adam, who died so that we might have life everlasting, with the result that we would reign forever and ever. We're going to reign forever and ever in glorious life. Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm getting quite excited. We are going to reign for eternity, living in his glory. What a marvelous promise for the future. But I'm very attached to the present, to the here and now. And we see in this future promise also a promise for today. We're not going to live the absolute perfection that we will in heaven. But we know this living God. We are already in a relationship with him. And today we can start living some of the things that we see in heaven. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When we look on the Lord today, here and now, we reflect his glory. We are living in glory today. We are changed from glory to glory. Of course, it's going to be much, much immeasurably bigger. But don't let's forget that the glory is here and now in us, for every one of us who knows Jesus. Look on Jesus, and we will reflect his glory. You can't get away from it. It's a physical thing. When you're looking into something light, it shines off you. Is this too much? What an encouragement for now. But this is a trustworthy text. But if you find it a bit difficult to understand that you're being changed from glory into glory, just listen to this from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. Is everyone listening? So that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. This isn't me who has made this up. This is the Apostle Peter speaking in the first century. You may participate in the divine nature. Doesn't that change the way we look at ourselves? Doesn't that change the way that we look at the world and we look at our mission in the world? Carrying the glory of God, walking in the light of God, bringing his love into the world. We need to get into this river of life. In John 7, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, are you thirsty for that? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And what will happen? Living waters will flow. Where from? From their heart. Lord, let your living waters flow. This, all that I have shared with you, is trustworthy and true. Amen.